संशय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Puri Vrajaka Charja Ashtotra Shattashi Shivat His Divine Grace Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I can tell you a funny story about this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. When I joined in 1982, there was one guest coming to the temple, and when he came to the Bhagavatam class for the first time, we chanted this, he almost fell out of his chair. He said, I paid $300 to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi for this mantra, and you guys are singing it for free. You know how he's selling these mantras. They're just Vedic mantras. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 11, text 1. Is that what it says on the board? Brahmana Uvacha. Akuvida kuvida vada vadan Vadasya tu nati vidam parishtaha Nasuryo hi vyavaharamenan Tatvavamarshena sahavananti Brahmana uvacha akuvida kuvida vada vadan vadasya tu nati vidam varishta nasuryo hi vavaharamenam Tatvavaram Shena Sahamananti. Please chant. Brahmana Uvacha. Kuvida Kuvida Vada Vadan. Rasya tu nati nidham varishta Nasuryo hi vyavaharamenam Tatvavaram shena sahavananti Brahmana uvacha Akuvida kuvida vada vadan Vadasya tu nati vidam varishtaha Nasuryo hi vyavaharamenam Tatvavam shena sahavananti. Matajis. Brahmana uvacha Akuvira, kuvira, vada, vadam. Vadasyato nati kamavishtaha. Nasuryo hivyavaharamenam. Tatvavam shena sahamananti. Vamana uvacha. Brahmana uvacha. The Brahman said, Akulvidaha, without having experience, Kulvidavadavadan, words used by experienced persons, Vadasi, you are speaking, Ato, therefore, No, not. Atividham, of those who are very experienced. Varishtaha, the most important. No, not. Surayaha, such intelligent persons. He, indeed. Vyavaharam, mundane and social behavior. Enam, this. Tattva, of the truth. Avamarshena, fine judgment by intelligence. Saha, with. Amananti, discuss. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. The Brahman Jadabharat said, My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant, or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man considering the absolute truth does not talk in this way. Purport. Krishna similarly chastised Arjuna. Ashochan anvashochastvam pragyavadam chabhasate. While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Bhagavad Gita 2.11. Similarly, among people in general, 99.9% try to talk like experienced advisors, but they are actually devoid of spiritual knowledge and are therefore like inexperienced children speaking nonsensically. Consequently, their words cannot be given any importance. One has to learn from Krishna or his devotee. If one speaks on the basis of this experience, that is, on the basis of spiritual knowledge, one's words are valuable. At the present moment, the entire world is full of foolish people. Bhagavad Gita describes these people as mudhas. They are trying to rule human society, but because they are devoid of spiritual knowledge, the entire world is in a chaotic condition. To be released from these miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jadabharat, Lord Krishna and Kapiladev. That is the only way to solve the problems of material life. Om Agyanati Randasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. All of us came to this material world to be ignorant of our relationship with Krishna, so we have to recognize that the over bearing or overarching paradigm of the material world is going to be an ignorant paradigm, especially in Kali Yuga. So we have to be very much prepared. And this is a great austerity we do on behalf of Lord Krishna. We go out and try to give spiritual knowledge to people who are extremely ignorant. And worse than simply an ignorance where people don't know what's going on, people are actually averse to knowledge of the soul. Because if you accept that there's a soul, then you realize that there's a supreme soul and we have to render transcendental loving service. And that's what people don't want to do. At least superficially, but deep down inside, everyone actually wants to love Krishna. Everyone is actually looking for spiritual happiness. So if the preacher is empowered, he can reach deeply into the heart and he can evoke loving sentiments even from very ignorant persons. Srila Prabhupada had this power. It's a kind of magical power to evoke devotional service from a conditioned soul. So this is what our whole sadhana is aimed at. We're praying to Krishna, we're begging Krishna every moment, please purify my heart so I can become your instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness. This is the supreme prayer. If you want to offer a prayer to Sri Sri Kishore Kishori, you can pray, "Oh my dear Lord, my heart is as filthy as a cesspool, being contaminated by the rivers of Kali Yuga. Please purify my heart so I can be your instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness." Because in the age of Kali, this is how we achieve success, is by spreading Krishna consciousness. And the impediment is the heart. The heart is caked or crudded. It's like the bottom of an old garbage truck. It's caked with so many impurities. But the power of the loud chanting of Krishna's holy name has the actual power to dissolve all impurities. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always emphasized for people in general the loud chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced deity worship side by side. Srila Prabhupada said, "I got this from my Guru Maharaj. There are two tracks of the train running back to Godhead, Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is deity worship program, and Bhagavat Vidhi is hearing and chanting and preaching the message to others. So these two tracks, these are the two vital tracks that the train runs on, because most of us are not strong enough to simply engage in the Bhagavat Vidhi, just chanting and then going out and preaching. You can try not living in a temple and you'll see how difficult it is to perform your sadhana, or try to compare it to when you're living at home chanting as opposed to when you're chanting in the temple. It's a huge difference, an astronomical, colossal difference in the experience, because in the temple there's the Archamurti installed by the pure devotee of the Lord. The pure devotee actually invites Krishna to accept the form. You buy a deity in Jaipur. The deity is marble. In the ultimate sense, Krishna's external energy is non-different from Krishna's internal energy. Prabhupada gives the example as an electrician can use one energy, electricity, to both heat and cool. Depending on whether you run an air conditioner or a heater, you're using the same energy, electricity. So from Krishna's vantage point, everything is spiritual. So Krishna can transform sections of the material energy back into its spiritual quality. And he does this in response to his pure devotee inviting the deity to come. So there's the prana pratishta, that's the ceremony for installing the deity. And a pure Vaishnav comes before the Lord and says, "Oh Lord, please accept this form so we can render you regulated service, because by rendering regulated service to the deity, our hearts become purified very, very quickly." It's the fastest means, actually, for a conditioned soul to become purified. The combination of chanting Hare Krishna and deity worship together. There is no faster process. This is the rocket ship that takes you out of the material world. And even if you're not brahminically initiated, there are many things you can do. You can help set up trays and clean paraphernalia. Cleaning the temple room floor is just like cleaning the deity. One time Prabhupada was in the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and the deities are beautiful Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. And Shyam Sundar is, as you might imagine, Shyam. He's black. He's made of black marble. And Srimati Radharani is exquisitely made of white marble. She's exquisitely, divinely beautiful. And the floor is also has black and white marble tiles. So one time in the lecture, Prabhupada said, when you're cleaning this floor, it's just exactly as if you're decorating the deities, cleaning the temple room floor. Sometimes we gloss over, we think, oh, I'm cleaning the floor again. We should think, I get to clean the floor again. I have the super excellent advantage of purifying my heart by engaging in this regulated sadhana bhakti, because this sadhana bhakti will elevate you to raganuga bhakti, which is the divine ecstatic mood of the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. For a conditioned soul, there's no shortcut, and those who try to take the shortcut, they are sahajiyas, and they wind up in great difficulty. Or rather, you could say this is the shortest cut that you're going to get. If you take everything in right perspective, if you read in the fourth canto what Prithu Maharaj had to undergo to achieve self-realization, tremendous austerities. In the summertime, he would sit in a ring of fire. It's already roasting. He would then build a ring of fire and sit there and meditate for the whole summer. And in the winter, instead of getting a heater, he would go into the Himalayas and punch a hole through the ice, because ice, water when it melts, it rises to the surface. Ice is actually lighter than water, so he punch a hole through the ice, and he got down to the up to his neck into the freezing river in the Himalayas and stay there for the whole winter time. So compared to that, the classic Puranic Ashtanga Yoga system for achieving just self-realization, not to mention getting anywhere near the Leelas of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan, which is what we're being offered, just to achieve a far inferior level of realization, just to achieve self-realization, just to get free from material desires, he had to perform tremendous austerities. What we're given is much less. Waking up for Mangal Arti, attending the full morning program, and then doing regulated service. The most potent thing is to do, some days to do deity worship and other days to do book distribution. Or in one day to do both combined together. It's an extremely potent program. There is, I can tell you quite honestly, there is no superior process for purifying the heart and achieving love of God. There is simply no other process that can match the combination of deity worship plus hearing and chanting about the leelas of the Lord. In fact, cleaning the temple room floor is such an important service that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself performed this service. And he was feeling so much ecstasy, the tears were falling from his eyes like rainfall, and he was using those tears to clean. It's such a wonderful leela. It's from Madhya Leela chapter 12 in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But before doing that, he did another amazing thing. Lord Chaitanya is always doing amazing things. And every page there's something mind-blowing going on. Your mind is constantly being blown and surprised by the things that Lord Chaitanya is doing. Because sometimes Lord Chaitanya would just give people ecstatic love of God without any sadhana. And they're just ordinary conditioned souls, it says. Prabhupada says to the purport of text 68 in Madhya chapter 12, that the son of King Prataparudra was an ordinary conditioned soul. On the previous day, the boy was simply an ordinary prince, and the next day he was counted as one of the topmost devotees of the Lord. Not a struggling bhakta having trouble finishing his 16 rounds and following the four eggs. Not even Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan in 1 second. This ordinary conditioned soul got the ecstatic love of the residents of Vrindavan in 1 second by the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why in this age we should meditate very deeply on the message, the teachings, the message, the mission, and the leelas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most recent appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jagannath Das Babaji, one of our great spiritual masters in disciplic succession, said that if you're living in a particular country, you should worship the king of that time, of that particular country. So it is, of course, appropriate on appearance days of Lord Varaha, Lord Nrisimhadev, and other great personalities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his variegated forms, to worship their particular leela. But otherwise, throughout the normal period of time, we should actually meditate on Lord Chaitanya, because he's giving us the process of self-realization, and his leelas are so inconceivable. In fact, there's one great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Prabhu Dananda Saraswati, who is actually Tunga Vidya, one of the Ashtasakis from Vraj Leela. Tunga Vidya, one of the eight most intimate associates of Srimati Radharani, came as this great Prabhudananda Saraswati. And he is so eager to glorify the leelas of Lord Chaitanya that he even appears to be minimizing the other avatars of the Lord. He says, so what if Lord Ramchandra slew the demon Ravana? So what if Lord Varaha lifted the earth from the Garbhodak ocean? The real thing is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was handing out on the street to the Yavanas and Malechas that rare ecstatic love that even Brahma and Shiva are begging for. That the residents of Vrindavan have. That ecstatic love from the residents of Vrindavan is being handed out freely to the Yavanas and Malechas of Kali Yuga. Who can understand? It's such a great disparity between the qualification of the receiver and what is being given. In previous ages, a Brahmin born in South India, a Pukka Brahmin following all principles, would meditate on the Lord and achieve Vaikuntha. So that's quite reasonable. He's highly qualified, he's pure, Naishtika Brahmachari, he does his pujas and his mantras and he goes to Vaikuntha. And that's very rational, it's what you would expect. But a person in Kali Yuga addicted to all sinful activities, even averse to the Sankirtan movement, has no interest in love of God, grows up in an American family watching television and drinking beer. Those are the two best, the most elevated activities for a person born in America growing up. But that person is being given something far superior than just Vaikuntha. So we have to see everything in the right perspective. We have to realize what we've been given, how exalted it is, actually. As we were reading last time, Lord Chaitanya just embraced the prince. Although he refused to see his father, he decided to see the prince. So the prince was just an ordinary youth, just an ordinary conditioned soul, and he came to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, here is a great devotee of Krishna. Because he happened to be wearing a yellow dhoti, and he looked a little, he had a swarthy complexion. So he looked a little bit like Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya is so absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Krishna, whatever even peripherally resembles Krishna, even has a slight resemblance to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya would see that as being directly Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya embraced the prince, and the prince became wild with ecstatic love. He began jumping and shouting, Hari, Hari! And he became a totally pure, advanced, intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya without any sadhana. Even the animals in the forest of Jarikanda, described later in Madhula chapter 17, even the animals, who may be more elevated than Americans, but maybe comparable, they got ecstatic love of God, just the tigers. A tiger was laying on the path, it says, in Madhula 17. Lord Chaitanya was just walking along the path in ecstasy. Everywhere Lord Chaitanya would go, he would simply embrace people and give them ecstatic love of God. But on this occasion, he extended the mercy beyond the human species and gave it to all living entities. The tiger, there was a tiger reclining on the path, and Lord Chaitanya touched the tiger with his foot and said, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And to the best of its vocal capacity, that creature got up on hind legs and began chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. This is described in Madhula chapter 17. None of what I'm saying is speculation. It is all in the revealed Shastras. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who happened to be the traveling companion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a very humble, pure devotee from Bengal. He was a Brahmin, very humble. But he got to travel with Lord Chaitanya. The way he got to travel was very interesting, because everyone wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. Whenever Lord Chaitanya wanted to go on a tour somewhere, initially he wanted to go to South India. So immediately Nityananda, Advaita, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, all the great Vaishnavas, they would immediately say, I'm going with you. I'll show you all the paths. I'll carry your water pot, your kamandalu, and your outer clothing. Because after all, you'll faint in ecstasy. Who will be able to help you with your belongings? When you're traveling on the road, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would just faint for hours on end in ecstatic love of God. Who will attend to your personal necessities? Who will cook for you? Lord Chaitanya was oblivious to the externals, but the Vaishnavas always took it as an opportunity for seva. So whenever Lord Chaitanya wanted to go on a tour, everyone said, "I want to go, I will go with you." Nityananda said, "Let me go with you." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Nityananda, you broke my danda. The danda is the residence of all the devas. You broke it in three parts and threw it in the river." Because the danda is carried by a neophyte sannyasi. There are four stages of sannyas, as we have discussed in previous classes. There's Kutichak, Bahudak, Purivrajak Acharya, and Paramahansa. So Nityananda was thinking, what is this? The Supreme Personality of Godhead shouldn't have to carry a danda around with him because he's automatically on the highest Paramahansa stage. And you may notice in ISKCON our more advanced sannyasis don't carry a danda. You may wonder why some sannyasis carry a danda and others do not. So the explanation given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that there are actually four levels of sannyas, four stages, which one progresses through as one becomes more renounced systematically. Kutichak, Bahudak, Purivrajak Acharya, and Paramahansa. So Lord Chaitanya is obviously in the Paramahansa stage, and Nityananda thought he shouldn't be carrying this is ludicrous. Why he should carry this danda around? So when Lord Chaitanya was bathing in the river, Lord Nityananda broke it in three pieces and hurled it into the river. And that river became known as the Danda Banga Nadi, the broken danda river. Danda Banga Nadi. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had finished bathing, he came out. And he asked Nityananda, please return my danda. And Nityananda said, in the last raging kirtan, when we were dancing together in ecstasy, our combined weight fell on the danda and it broke, and I don't know where the pieces went. Now you can punish me if you like, he told Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, Nityananda, you're always doing these kinds of crazy things. Nityananda is known as an avadut. He's wild with ecstatic love, so he doesn't follow all the strict rules pertaining to the sannyas order. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sometimes Nityananda would go to a young maiden, a girl, and say, will you marry me? Sometimes he would jump on an ox and shout, Mahesh! Because Lord Shiva, Mahesh is the name of Shiva, so Shiva rides on a bull. So Nityananda would just jump, he would mount an ox and say and shout out, Mahesh! Or when he would see a house with some cows, some milkmen, he would go and milk the cows before they had a chance to milk the cows. And he was nimble and young, so he would run away, and Haridas was his traveling partner, and Haridas was old and couldn't run very fast, so they'd come out to beat him with a stick. During the monsoon swollen rainy season, when the rainy season in Bengal, the rivers swell up in the monsoon, and there are giant crocodiles. So Nityananda would jump in the river and playfully swim and play with the crocodiles. And people on the bank would be screaming, "Higher, higher!" Apparently in Bengali that means, oh no, something terrible is going to happen. They didn't understand that Nityananda is the origin of all the universes, that by his glands he can create unlimited universes. So they were in great anxiety. This Nityananda is so restless. He's always doing crazy things. Then he approached the two notorious drunks, Jagai and Marai, who were huge. They were massive and powerful. They were so ruthless, cruel, and expert that even the police would not interfere with their activities in Navadvip. So they basically had free reign of whatever they wanted to do throughout the town. The two massive drunks, who are obviously not candidates for bhakti yoga. And so Nityananda, he went to them and said, just worship Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your life and soul. Worship Krishna. But for Krishna's holy name, there's nothing else to be had in the three worlds. So the two drunks said, oh yeah? Krishna's holy name? We'll tell you something about Krishna's holy name. So they became incensed and enraged, because how dare anyone instruct them in the proper execution of their duties. They became so enraged, they sprang up and ran after Haridas. And Nityananda, and Haridas was elderly, so he barely escaped. Lord Nityananda had to pull him along. The two drunks were so intoxicated that they fell down on the ground in a drunken stupor. Otherwise, the devotees would have been in difficulty. So they went to the house of Srivas Thakur, which was Lord Chaitanya's headquarters, when the Sankirtan mission was beginning. And they described what happened. And Haridas Thakur said, "I've been given a very restless Sankirtan partner. He's always doing crazy things and getting me into deep trouble." And then Advaita Acharya said, this is right. It's right that one drunkard should associate with other drunks. This Nityananda is a drunkard, so it's appropriate for him to associate with Jagai and Mada. Actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the deeper meaning, the hidden meaning of these words, is he was actually praising Lord Nityananda, because Nityananda is so exalted, he's drunk with ecstatic love of God. The Sanskrit is prema unmada. Unmada means mad. He was driven mad with ecstatic love of God. And he has the capacity to give ecstatic love to others just by glancing. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Nityananda, simply with his glance, he would inject ecstatic love of God into the hearts of conditioned souls, regardless of how degraded they were. It didn't matter how far away they were from the proper behavior of a candidate would usually have for accepting bhakti yoga. Nityananda would elevate everyone, but he would do it in a wild way. No holds barred was his ecstatic distribution of love of God. So Haridas Thakur was, in a joking fashion, was complaining that he was given a very restless Sankirtan partner. Actually, Haridas was trying to glorify Nityananda. Haridas was so thinking himself unlimitedly fortunate that he got to go on Sankirtan with the avadut Nityananda. And Advaita Acharya would also glorify Nityananda by saying it in a clever and crafty fashion. He would appear to be insulting Nityananda. Advaita Nityananda always had this joking, insulting rasa. Actually, they were glorifying each other to the highest level. So Advaita Acharya was saying, yes, Nityananda is a drunkard, so it's right that he will dance with these drunkards. And then Advaita Acharya predicted within 2 days, Nityananda will deliver these two. They will join our kirtan. They will become the best of devotees. They will become uttama adhikaris within 2 days. And that actually happened. So such is that the pastimes of Gaur Nitai are inconceivable, actually. Therefore, they are called parama karuna, supremely merciful. Parama means supreme. They are supremely, adui jana, these two jana, these two folks, these two people are supremely merciful. You cannot find anyone as merciful. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his ecstatic glorification of Gaur Nitai, in a book called Chaitanya Chandramrita, Chandra Amrita, the moon-like nectarian Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was saying, so what if Lord Varaha lifted the earth planet? So what if Ramchandra slew the demon Ravana and Kumbhakarna? So what if Lord Nrisimhadev slew the demon Hiranyakasipu? Actually, these are wonderful leelas, and all Vaishnavas acknowledge the glories of these particular leelas. And of course, Prabodhananda Saraswati, being a topmost pure devotee, is not denigrating the leelas. He's just saying, but in comparison to what Lord Chaitanya is doing, just consider that. The Lord Chaitanya is handing out pure love, the highest kind of love of God, what the residents of Raj are experiencing. He's handing it out on the streets, even to the dacoits, the murderers, the thieves, and the rogues. It's inconceivable, actually, what Lord Chaitanya is giving out. So when you go on book distribution, you can meditate on Lord Chaitanya's mission, his teachings, and his leelas, and you'll find yourself to be always inspired. Lack of inspiration takes place when we're not deeply meditating on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. If you're always meditating on Lord Chaitanya and his pure devotees, coming in disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, all these great acharyas who are intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, if you don't meditate enough on their leelas, then you'll find your heart drying up. If you're feeling dried up, we have to meditate on the lila. The lila is where the juicy nectar is in devotional service. Since then, that fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all his devotees and said, "Now we shall wash at the temple known as Gundicha." Upon hearing the Lord's request, the Padicha, the superintendent of the Jagannath temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." King Prataprudra gave an order that we should perform whatever you desire immediately. "To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." "My dear Lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes." As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. Lord Chaitanya was so personal, he would put a flower garland on each devotee and put sandalwood pulp on them personally. Lord Chaitanya is so personal in his loving dealings with all his devotees. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha Mandir. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasana, and cleansed it and put it back in its original place. The Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. This is a symptom of a pure Vaishnav. What to speak of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? While performing other services, they're always chanting at the same time. This is another very important thing. Sometimes devotees are doing service, but their mind is a million miles away. Especially for a neophyte devotee, if we're doing a service that doesn't require some particular mental concentration, then we should be chanting the holy name while we're performing the service, because if you do that, you'll feel yourself to be getting purified very rapidly, engaging, as I was mentioning, the Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavat Vidhi together. The combination has a devastating effect for cleansing the heart. That heart which is caked with the mud of Kali Yuga and overburdened with so many material anarthas, that can be very quickly cleansed by chanting and rendering service at the same time. Then you feel so blissful, actually. By the end of the day, you feel totally blissful. If we're actually doing devotional service properly, we'll feel very happy. If we're not performing it properly, we'll not feel happy. This is a test. Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, "Susukam kartam avijam." This is performed happily. This devotional service is performed susukam, with great happiness, even for neophyte. So the alarm bell should go off if we're feeling morose or uninspired. That means we're not performing sadhana bhakti properly, because even sadhana bhakti, what to speak of raganuga bhakti, which is astronomically higher on the chain, even beginning stage of sadhana bhakti is a great source of happiness if we perform it properly. And properly means that not only should the body be engaged in service, but the mind has to be engaged. We should be always chanting the holy name or listening to a lecture while we're performing our service. Sri Chaitanya washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. What an amazing pastime. The Lord's body is covered with dust, but is still said to be extraordinarily beautiful. And then the tears are falling. There's a whole meditation. The tears are coming from Lord Chaitanya's eyes, and he's cleaning with those tears. The Lord told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the devotees engaged in cleaning the temple. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots. And they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them to the Lord. The devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling, and when the water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. This is the Gundicha Mandir, so the Lord was to come there in a few days. He was situated in Jagannath Temple, the Jagannath Mandir, which is about 2 miles away from the Gundicha Mandir. But there was a Singhasana, a place where the Lord would be situated. So that was where Lord Jagannath will be coming in a couple of days. And Lord Chaitanya especially cleansed that very carefully with the tears from his own eyes. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. So the devotees, they were dutifully bringing, there's a painting of this, if you look, you won't be able to see it, it's too small, but you should look in this volume. This is Majjhima chapter 13. So the devotees were dutifully bringing water to Lord Chaitanya, who was using it for cleansing, but on the side, some devotees very sneakily and craftily, they poured some water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, because the water that touched the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, this is the greatest, most valuable treasure. If you drink that water, you get ecstatic love instantly. Drinking the water that has touched, that has washed the lotus feet of a Mahabhagavat, an Uttama Adhikari, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami identifies 3 very powerful substances. He says, "Oh my dear devotees, you must render service to these 3 substances. The dust from the feet of a pure Vaishnava, the water that has washed the feet of a pure devotee, and the remnants of food honored by a pure devotee." These 3 things are supremely powerful. Mahabala. Mahabala. These are supremely powerful. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, so anyone who's on the planet, when Lord Chaitanya was on the planet, what a golden opportunity, and the water is flying here and there, so it's bona fide, maybe. Actually, they had to hide after collecting the water from Lord Chaitanya's feet, because Lord Chaitanya, in the role of a humble devotee, he didn't want people to wash his feet. So he was not, internally he was always pleased by the devotional mood, but externally, to show the etiquette, he did not approve it externally. So devotees had to do it by tricks. So one devotee, when Lord Chaitanya was cleansing in divine love, oblivious to the external circumstances, in the ecstasy of his service to Lord Krishna, a devotee would sneak up from behind and pour water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And then that, while one devotee was pouring the water, another devotee had a water pot underneath Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet to catch the water. And then everyone would be begging, please give me a drop of that water. Everyone was begging and running and hiding to drink the water. Such is the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. The result of cleaning the Lord's temple or paraphernalia is that your mind becomes cleansed. What a wonderful facility, because if we just rely on our own power of japa, that may be very difficult, or other services. To cleanse the heart is not such an easy thing, but cleansing the Lord's paraphernalia, immediately one feels the effect. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, walked up to Lord Chaitanya, poured water on his lotus feet, and drank the water himself. So this devotee, he was not even shy about it. And this is after the end, when everything was finished. Lord Chaitanya was just standing there. One humble Vaishnav just walked up with a water pot, poured some water on Lord Chaitanya's feet, and then drank the water himself. Seeing this, Lord Chaitanya was outwardly angry. Inwardly, he was pleased by the devotional mood, but it's against the etiquette, because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of a devotee. You can't wash someone else's feet in front of the deity. That's considered an offense. In the temple, only the deity should be bathed and worshipped. Because Lord Chaitanya is actually non-different from the deity, it was not an offense. But to teach the proper etiquette, Lord Chaitanya had to teach these things. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord called for Swarup Damodar and said, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. Then Swarup Damodar escorted the Vaishnav out of the temple. And then, after returning, Swarup Damodar requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive that innocent person, because he was doing the right thing, actually, by taking the opportunity to drink the water that had washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the Nrisingha temple. There's another smaller temple nearby of Lord Nrisingadev. Cleansed the Nrisingha temple inside and outside. After resting a few minutes, Lord Chaitanya began his devastating dance. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees performed congregational chanting, and the Lord, just like a maddened lion, danced in the middle. Lord Chaitanya is compared to a maddened lion, when he would dance with great jubilation and intensity. He was like a wild lion in ecstatic love. And he was very large, and he was golden, like a giant golden lion dancing with two upraised arms. As usual, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, there were perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation and roaring, thundering and bellowing. Lord Chaitanya would bellow and thunder in ecstatic love of God. It's called hunkara. In Bengali, the term is hunkara, to loudly shout the Lord's holy name in divine ecstasy. Such is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. Indeed, the tears from Lord Chaitanya's eyes washed his body and the devotees around him. In this way, Lord Chaitanya washed the bodies of all the devotees with the tears from his eyes. The tears poured like rains in the month of Shravana. The sky was filled with the great and loud chanting of Sankirtan, and the earth shook from the jumping and dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was so powerful that when he would spring into the air, he would come down and hit the ground, the whole earth would tremble like an earthquake. Indeed, sometimes it was said that the mountains would tilt. Because Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mountains would tilt, the earth would shake. It says Bhumi, Bhumi Kampa, that means earthquake, like an earthquake, Bhumi Kampa. The sky was filled with the great and loud chanting of Sankirtan, and the earth shook from the jumping and dancing of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always liked the loud chanting of Swarup Damodar. Therefore, when Swarup Damodar sang, Lord Chaitanya danced and jumped high in jubilation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Sri Gopal, the son of Advaita Acharya, to dance. While dancing in ecstatic love, Sri Gopal fainted and fell to the ground unconscious. When Sri Gopal fainted, Advaita Acharya hastily took him upon his lap. Seeing that he was not breathing, he became very agitated. Advaita Acharya and others began to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisimha. The roaring of the chant was so great that it seemed to shake the entire universe. When the boy did not regain consciousness after some time, Advaita Acharya and other devotees began to cry. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand on Gopal's chest and said, Gopal, stand up. As soon as Gopal heard the voice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately came to his senses. All the devotees began to dance, chanting the holy name of Hari. So this is the pastime of cleansing the temple, the Gundicha temple, one of the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we still have 4.5 microseconds left for questions, if anyone has a question.
I was at the Gundicha temple, 95, I think. And there was these guys there, and they were kind of, like a security guard force. And they were smoking and drinking right on the premises, and the place was filthy. But that's something that I observed.
So we have a great mission is to revive Chaitanya Vaishnavism all over the world and bring it back to the status that it had during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a great challenge, because Kali Yuga means that everything descends to Tamagun. Even in the holy places, it's described in Lilamrita. Prabhupada was very anxious to go to Jagannath Puri. This was when he was a householder in the 1930s. So Prabhupada was always checking the train schedules. When can I get a train to Jagannath Puri? When he went there, he found that some of the pandas were eating fish. He was shocked. Prabhupada was shocked. How can Vaishnavas eat fish? There was a joke. They were called water vegetables. I don't know the Bengali for that, the water vegetables. Anyone know the Bengali for that? Jala, how do you say vegetable? Vyanjana. Jala Vyanjana. So this is the sad thing. Actually, when Ramanujacharya was touring throughout India to bring the standard of deity worship in all the Vaishnava temples 1,000 years ago, he wanted to bring the standards up very high. So when he came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath threw him 1,000 miles away. He said, let my pujaris do whatever they like. So sometimes the Lord has a special mood. The pujaris are coming from the Shabaras, the pujaris of Jagannath, so they may have a more liberal standard. And sometimes the Lord approves of their liberal standard. Another example of this is the Shasta Ojani festival, where Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that Lord Jagannath had been offered a starched garment. Are you familiar with this pastime? Pundarik Vidyaniti is on the highest level of ecstatic love. He's actually Maharaj Vrishabhanu. He's none other than the father of Srimati Radharani from Vraj Leela. But he found some fault with the pujaris of process, how they were offering starched garments to Lord Jagannath. So that night, in a dream, Lord Jagannath and Balaram came and they began slapping Pundarik Vidyaniti's cheeks in the dream. They began slapping again and again, and Pundarik said, "Oh Lord, please forgive my offense." And Lord Jagannath said, "How dare you find fault with my pujaris? I accept their standard, why can't you?" So Pundarik offered obeisances. It was a loving exchange because he's a pure devotee. But lovingly, Lord Jagannath was slapping his cheeks. So all these amazing pastimes are going on when you're on the highest level of devotional service. You can interact directly with the Lord. There are many pastimes from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Didi even walked 1,000 miles. His name is Sakshi Gopal. He walked 1,000 miles to bear witness because one elderly Brahmin was not keeping his promise to a younger pure devotee Brahmin to give his daughter in marriage. That's in Majjhila chapter 5 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Didi walked 1,000 miles for his devotees. This pure devotee, he came to the Didi and said, "Please come and bear witness." And the Didi said, "But Didis don't walk." He was so pure, the Didi began speaking to him. The Didi said, "Well, Didis don't usually walk." And the devotee said, "Well, if you can talk, you can walk." Because the Didi was talking, that's also not a normal thing. That's the purity. See, if your heart is actually cleansed, as we were talking in the class, the whole goal is to clean the heart. You can actually talk, you can interact directly with the Didi. There are many pastimes. Madhavendra Puri directly, 3 times the Didi spoke to him directly and asked him to do things. So these things are going on. We have so much to look forward to as we advance. But also we should be careful. There are established temples where, even though the standard may be different, we cannot criticize the dear devotees of the Lord in that temple.
Also at Bhakti Siddhanta's birthplace, there's a sign that says, "This is not an ISKCON temple." So we didn't seem very welcome. But this might have changed.
When Haridas Thakur was refused entry into the Jagannath temple, he took it as an opportunity to be more humble. He said, "Yes, it's right, I'm not qualified to go in the temple." Instead of protesting, Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, also, who are on the highest level, they both sat in a kutir and they just looked at the chakra on the top of the temple. And they were chanting in ecstasy, and they were so pure that Lord Jagannath himself came every day to give them Mahaprasad in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you're not qualified to go in the temple, maybe the Lord will come out of the temple to see you if you're actually pure. So the whole message is we have a lot of work to do. We have to purify our hearts so we can interact directly with the Lord. That's the whole point of Vaishnavism, is to have loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Sometimes we get a little mechanical, but the actual goal is loving exchanges.
Listen to your mind. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.